Welcome back to Raisin Brand, the official Pixel Labs podcast, where we talk about creative and marketing and how the two come together to build brands. Our goal with this podcast is to use our own experiences, along with that of our guests, to give you a little insight into how you can improve your brand or grow your skills in your marketing career. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Raisin Brand podcast. It has been a few months since we've done one of these. Last one you heard was, I think, my story when Aaron interviewed me. A lot's changed since then, and I'm super excited to be interviewing Aaron right now about his story. Mm-hmm. So I have Aaron Jarnigan here. He's going to tell you a little bit about his journey, and you're going to learn a bit about some of the things that he's gone through with marketing. But one of the biggest things that we've talked about is how you got into marketing. And it's a funny story on what some of your initial experiences were with marketing. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So definitely a funny story as I think about it now. And it really began late middle school, early high school. And I'm just going to start it by saying I was definitely a weird kid, like a nerd. I would say I was decently liked by about everybody, but, which is kind of funny because then, like, you never really have, like, your circle. Like, I dabbled in sports, so I was, you know, I kind of knew, like, the sports people in high school. Like, I enjoyed speech, you know, so I was friends with the speech people. But I never was, like, one of those people, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't, like, you had, like, the jocks and stuff. Like, I feel like I'm going back a little bit too far in terms of how groups are oriented. But I just always grew up really enjoying computer games. My mom was big into phonics, you know, like growing up, like those programs, and a lot of them were computer based. And that's where I kind of started with computers. So I just think that that's interesting. But then as I started getting older, you know, like getting into games like the Hot Wheels games, you know, like on computer, like you build your track and stuff. And those are always really cool. And then at some point, my older brother actually gave me an Xbox 360. He was going to get something else, or he was going to be leaving, and he gave it to me. I was like, this is like the coolest thing ever. Because I never had a gaming console before, and it was just always like these Hot Wheel games. My dad played a game called Age of Empires. That's kind of a big favorite. Age of Empires 2, still like one of the best games ever created out there. And so I got this Xbox 360, and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 was, he had that, and that's also one of the best games of all time. Call of Duty never did it, they don't do it as good anymore, but, so I started playing that, and that was really fun. I loved, you know, like how that game presented, like all the cool elements of it, how engaging it was from a user standpoint. That was the first multiplayer game I'd ever had. So, you know, the idea of getting into a game, and then, you know, there wasn't a lot of other kids at my school. I think there were a few. It was a pretty small school, but in terms of kids who really enjoyed playing games, there weren't as many. So to be able to jump into a game where it's like instant community, you know, like it's all there. You know, people love the game. They love talking about the game. You know, you're just screaming at each other. You know, you're all like middle school, early high school age kids. Oh, man. That definitely gave me a thick layer of skin, I think, was just going through that, those lobbies. Oh, good times.
Taught you how to take criticism, right?
Right, right. I see posts sometimes, and it's like, man, if people spent more time in Call of Duty lobbies, we wouldn't have as many problems as we do today. Oh, man, some of the things that were said. But by others, of course, never by me. But and then my cousin actually got into playing Call of Duty. He had a PlayStation, though, so I never thought he was as cool because I definitely was an Xbox fan growing up. But he got into this thing called, I don't even know how to properly describe it, but it basically was trickshotting, okay? Call of Duty trickshotting, right? So you know when you're playing and like there's the guy with the sniper in the corner, you know, spinning, and he's like 0-42, you know, at the end of a team deathmatch game. Like that's what we were looking at. That's who we started watching, was these people who they would take these sniper rifles and, you know, go for these like kill chains, try to kill a bunch of people in a row. Or they would do trick shots where literally you would jump off a building and spin around, and there was all these button combinations you could do that would do all these visual things on your screen. And some of them are really hard. Like it was pretty insane. It's amazing how, you know, somebody can create a game like that. I mean, pretty linear, right? Like you get a gun and you kill people, and so this people could just make it this whole different thing, you know? And that's, so he got into it, and then he was talking to me about it, and I got into it. I just started watching these people. And this were like, cause these were the first influencers that we were ever really, you know, introduced to. Was this was like, you know, like we had TV and stuff, but this was a pretty interesting, just, I would just say, point in time. But we got into it. And then one thing that my cousin got into is he got into graphic design. So, and this was all taking place on YouTube. I don't know if I mentioned that. So all of this was on YouTube. You know, you had your YouTube channels and you had all these people. But then within trickshotting, within this realm, you had teams. So people would actually join up into teams. And in these teams were the players. So those who were doing the trick shots, you know, jumping off of buildings to their death, you know, to get these kills. Then you had graphic designers, which is what my cousin went into, Ben. And then I, for whatever reason, just fell in love with the editing of it. So what they would do is they would take recordings of these, you know, kills, trick shots, and then they would sync them to music. They would add all sorts of effects. My favorite one that I always remember was it's a Twixter plugin on After Effects. And after they would get a kill, part of what looked cool was then you would reload right away. So like if you did like a no scope and you reloaded right after, it looked really cool. Because it did. I don't know. Because
the shell would pop out. You slow that down. Yeah.
And then you slowed it way down. Like, and back in the early days of that, people just thought the slowing down was cool. So they would slow down to like 2%. You know what I mean? Like you barely, but that was just what was cool at the beginning. And then of course, you know, that was like the super, like this all was super new. So it's funny as you think back, you're like, oh, that looks so cool. And now you look at it, it's just like crap. You know, like there's distortion all over the screen and stuff. But that's what I fell in love with. And so then it was, how do I do this, right? Like, how do I get involved in this? I was terrible at the trick shotting stuff. But then I started, like, just looking up tutorials on YouTube of, okay, first of all, what are people using to do this? Because iMovie was not cutting it. Did not have the features that I wanted. And so, you know, you found some people were using Final Cut. Of course, the majority of people were using Adobe and After Effects. And so that's what I actually started using. I started with Final Cut for a very short period of time and then actually jumped into After Effects because After Effects is what you did the slow motion effect with. And so I'm just like, this is it. This is what everybody uses is After Effects and everybody only uses After Effects. And so to this day, all of my workflow and video is done.
Edit everything in After
Effects. On After Effects. You know, it's so funny. Who was I talking to? But there's been, well, so you, but then from when you like revealed that to me, that's like crazy. There's been two or three more people that I've talked to about that. And I'm like, oh, you're in video? Then you might think this is funny. Like, let me know what you think. And then I'd tell them that my entire workflow is in After Effects. And they're like, I don't even know how to use After Effects. It's like, it's so scary. I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't know how to use Premiere. Like, it's so scary. So then I started watching YouTube videos, got more just intrigued and invested. And I mean, there were tutorials on everything. That's why I love YouTube so much. So we were watching all these, you know, people that are gaining a ton of subscribers. You know, some of the big ones were like FaZe, you know, they're still really big today. Soar was another big one. Dare was even a big one. And I think those two might still be there today. Phases for sure. Optic, of course, is a big one that, you know, dabbled in Call of Duty trick shotting, and now they're across all sorts of different games. And, it's just pretty incredible. But, you know, we were back in like the early days with like the good old days, you know? But yeah, so I was, you know, watching these guys and they were just doing amazing things. And I was like, how do I get better? How do I do that? And just watching a ton of tutorials and, you know, a ton of videos, just doing it for myself, you know, just trying to learn how to do it. And then at some point it clicked that I was just like, I need to join a team. Like, I need to start doing this, you know, for other people, like start to get some, you know, I want to meet more people. I want people to watch. It was so cool seeing these videos get hundreds of thousands of views. And I'm like, how do I get involved in this? And so, I did, I started a channel, and back then how you connected with people and communicated with people was through Skype. Which rip, I mean, Skype's pretty much gone at this point, as far as I'm concerned. But, so I think I couldn't even tell you what the first clan, and that's what they were called, you know, teams or clans, that I joined, but they were always rated by how many subscribers they had on YouTube. So the first one I joined, I think it was like Vizzy or something, and they all have just obscure names. And it had like 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, which 1,000 back then was like, what? 1,000 people are watching you do this. Like, that is incredible. Like, I joined a 1,000, like a 1K team. And that's how you always talked about it. Like, join Vizzy, we're 1K. And I just love that. You know, FaZe was 200K at one point.
And now if you're not 1M.
Yeah. I mean, 1,000 people. Like, look at TikTok. Like, you can get 1,000 followers in a day. You know, if you just post the right content, hey, it's like, you're done. It's amazing. But also people would buy, you know, subscribers sometimes and stuff. But you could always check the views. But, so basically, long story short, that was kind of the beginning of how I, you know, was even interested in, just got into the realm of content creation, got into the realm of, putting this out on a social media platform. But then it was just pretty incredible because you just had this really cool opportunity to dive into this, I would just say, community. And then from there, I'm trying to think about
it. At what point did you connect this content creation to marketing?
Gotcha. Good question. So it never actually occurred to me what I was doing was marketing, right? Like this was just, I was a little kid, I had fun. I enjoyed what I was doing. There were other people kind of in the world with me doing it and just was very motivating. So I did that through, it was my sophomore year of high school, right? So I did this for about 3-4 years that I was doing it and had a lot of fun, like got involved with a lot of good people, joined bigger teams. I think the most I ever joined was like a 44K team. And it was flaw sniping. So shout out to any flaw snipers out there. And then I started detasseling in the summer. So then of course, you kind of move away from that. You start working, you get a job, you move down. But, it was actually when I started going to school and actually started learning what marketing was, cause this was just something I was just doing it and it was fun. And then I started learning the principles of marketing, it's, you have a service and then, it's about connecting, a buyer with a seller, or if you're the seller, connecting to a buyer with what you're doing and how do you do that? And once I started learning the principles of marketing, it kind of clicked that, oh my goodness, this was content, which viewers wanted. And then you use platforms like YouTube to then connect that content to those viewers. And then I mentioned Skype being the communication channel. And one thing that you could do is you could download this application where you would put a message in and it would automatically send it to all of your Skype contacts. Right. So kind of like your very basic email marketing, you were kind of rated on how many Skype contacts you had. The more, it was cooler if you had more. And so these were like the early days of some of these really cool ways of communication. And so, I just thought I want my videos to get views. I need to do a little bit of promotion. And so I opened up that bot, that Skype bot, and it just did its thing. And once I started realizing that, I was like, oh my goodness, that was super fun. Marketing sounds like it's super fun. And if you can do this weird, obscure stuff and be like FaZe and actually make a ton of money, and live on these cool places, this seems really viable. In college, I actually tried to get back into it, but I had a 7-year-old MacBook Pro at the time that I was trying to do all this stuff on, and it did not go very well. I did make a couple of videos, but nobody watched them, and I didn't have the same connections that you do before because it had been a few years, but... I was looking around and it's like, wow, this is actually kind of a model though that you can do for about anybody. And so that really is what, encouraged me to get really involved with marketing at school and join a different clubs and start doing some fun stuff. Again, making a video every once in a while just because I had that experience. And that was really the birth of it. So I apologize to all the viewers. I just love getting into that stuff, the Call of Duty world. It's kind of this... It's always fun when you start learning, or I think when you start learning about somebody's really specific interest, because then they just get it's just amazing and you don't even realize that there's that much going on. Someone would just say oh yeah, have you played Call of Duty before? And I say, yeah, but you I could go on for 4 hours talking about who the people were, what we did. Pretty incredible. And there's a lot of really specific memories of moments, through playing that game and through meeting people. That just will always stick with me just because they were just so interesting.
Well, they're all little building blocks that got you to where you are now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
When you have those memorable building blocks, that's why it's really easy to recall some of these stories and some mm-hmm. of these things that you did that really got you to where you are.
Oh yeah. Well, and people too, and I never learned their actual names. We all just called each other by our gamer tags. Right. I you would Skype call every once in a while. And so I'd see these people, and they'd see me and my parents were like, is this safe? Do we need to, these are just random people. There was one friend who I was really good buddies with. And he went by, Headshot HS was what he always went by. I think we were friends for the 4 or 5 years that we were doing this. Cause we happened to, Demise. That was the first clan that I joined, was Demize, Demise. And that had 1K. And that's how we joined. Cause we were both editors, and that's how I met him. And we were friends the whole time. So, like, I still have his Snapchat. I still have his phone number. Every once in a while, I'll text him. Shout out Michael, you know, if you happen to listen to this. But he actually, his lung collapsed one summer while I was in college. And he actually lives in Chicago. And so I actually drove out and visited him in the hospital. And I thought a hospital was a pretty safe place to meet somebody in person, you know, that you met on the internet. And so I actually went and met with him. And the craziest part was, you know, I had never been in the same room, you know, in the same town as this guy, you know, at any time. He was my age. I'm going to say, like, he was my age. It wasn't like this, you know, like 60-year-old guy or anything. But I talked with him for 5 hours, like nonstop, you know, because it's how's your brother, you know, how's your sister who's engaged, you know, like, I know all this stuff. Like, what's your family? How was your vacation that you just went on? Because you know all these things, you know, how's college starting? Pretty incredible that, you know, you can get to know like somebody like this just through a video game and through connecting. And so that was always kind of cool. And so he's somebody that I'll never forget. And every once in a while you just check in just because you did. I mean, you talked for a long time. So just kind of interesting.
That's cool. It's neat when things like that all just kind of come together like mm-hmm. that. And you're able to connect this virtual thing really that you've never actually met them and then see them in person and kind mm-hmm. of like continue that conversation, that relationship, like it's always been in person. So,
well, and my girlfriend at the time went with, and she said it was just so weird just because she just listened the majority of the time, you know, and he's asking about how my brother is and all these specific things. And she said that was just so interesting that you had never met this guy in person. And it was like, you guys are right. just old friends. You know what yeah. I mean? You're just picking up where you left off.
So I want to change gears a little bit because you consider yourself a self-proclaimed data nerd.
Yeah.
First of all, is it data or data? What's your opinion?
I don't get into, I don't give my opinion tough issues on mine. What's yours? I mean, I don't know.
I say data because it's easier for me to say.
Do you say data? Yeah.
I say data. Some
I don't want to offend anyone.
But yeah, you say you consider yourself a self-proclaimed data nerd.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
So I just love, well, first of all, I love knowing that what I'm doing is the right thing to do, right? I have a really hard time spending my time on something if I know that it's not valuable, not worthwhile, not going to pay off in the end. It's really hard for me to, especially to get motivation to continue doing that. I have a hard time. So, and I've always been kind of a perfectionist, you know, and people say that and like, what does that mean? But for me, it means that, again, if I'm not doing something that I fully think is worthwhile or, you know, it's ultimately the right thing, then I have a hard time just doing it. I've gotten better through time. You know, we had a podcast about like the kind of the 80-20 thing, you know, understanding that if it gets to 80% of perfect, then you're good to go. And that 20% almost takes like four times longer as that 80% anyway, you know, so I've gotten a little bit better with that, but, check out that podcast. It's a good one. But within marketing, you know, and it kind of goes back to the Call of Duty thing. I mean, it was all measured by views, subscribers, your Skype contacts. And so for me, some of this stuff, you know, it started out as, you know, how in the world, I'll back up just a little bit. So, you know, when you made a video, you make one and it would get, say, 200 views, right? Especially back at like way in the beginning. And then you make another one, that got 350. And it, you know, there's more people from Utah or California that watched this one. And so then it's, you know, it was interesting for me, like, okay, that's a pretty big difference. Like, how did that happen? Like, I want to understand what happened there. Yep. Because, you know, 200's cool, but if we can be getting 350 every time, like, we should be shooting for 350 and trying to replicate that. And so when I say, like, you know, data is really important, it's, you know, to the point of, you know, if you're doing 200 views, that's awesome. You know, we want to keep up those rhythms, but how can we get to that 350? And that's where I just, like, dive in. You know, is it, okay, so I send it to this one person, you know, say they're from California, like trying to figure out, like, did they share it? Like, is there any way that I can measure that? Like, is there any way that I can see if they watch in the future? And so that's where the nerd part gets in there, because I want to know exactly why that happened. And so then it's also interesting, like, then as, like, the consumer side, then it's kind of the battle of, you know, how much data should there be, you know, like, as a marketer, but then also, you know, understanding, okay, what's realistic? Because even thinking, like, 10 years ago, the data that you would be able to have as a marketer, dramatically less than what it is today. So really when I say data nerd, it's truthfully just getting into like fully understanding. Like, I want to almost understand how every single person of that 350 got to that video. And then I want to understand, like, did they like it? How much did they watch? Did they subscribe? And then, if they subscribed, you know, why? I want to know exactly what, like, thoughts went through their mind. I want to know what they were feeling.
What made them click that button?
Well, oh my goodness.
Like was it a specific video? Was it the collection of videos? Like, there's so many things that you can dig back into.
Well, it's, and then also the negative feedback. Like, if somebody disliked it, like, I want to know, like, did they really didn't like it? Or, like, were they upset that day? And maybe the song I used, they just hate the song, you know? And that always kind of helped because you get a lot of dislikes just because that's just the way the world works. You just get dislikes, especially on that scale. But that was always kind of how I dealt with it, was just like, oh, like, you know, it was probably just like the song. You know, it was never anything that I did.
Right.
But yeah, so when we talk about that, that's, I could just go in deep. And so I've tried to get really good at, you know, because meaningful metrics are really where it's at, right? I mean, you can look into all this stuff and you can figure out why all 200 people got there or why, but you, I mean, you'd spend 3 years just on those 200 people. You know, you have to go and interview them and all this stuff, which is just unrealistic, right? So data nerd, yes, I love that. I love getting into it, but also being realistic of, okay, you know, probably just need to look at what mediums I was using, you know, like what engagement there was, and just, you know, stop there, or else you're just going to spend way too much time. Because eventually you have to make another video, and, you know, you can't have 2 years pause between right. videos, because people are going to be gone. So,
you're a few years into marketing now as a profession, right? Tell me a little bit about your first experiences in the professional world.
Yeah, really great question. So I worked at an organization in the Waterloo Cedar Falls area called Grow Cedar Valley. And it was a Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development organization. And so for folks that typically Chamber of Commerce folks know, you know, it's kind of a networking organization for the business community. They have a bunch of events throughout the year to get people involved. But really what interested me most about that organization was the community work that they did. And, you know, so when I went to the University of Northern Iowa, which is in that same area, I just really fell in love with the area. I enjoyed it. It was a good central spot, you know, with family and different things there. Met a good gal, so that always, you know, that always helps. But ended up just really loving the area. And so when this opportunity came up to work for an organization that was very community focused, I kind of jumped on it. And then as I interviewed and became a part of it, it became very clear that I get to work on a lot of different stuff too. So I really enjoyed that as well. And so the main project that I worked on was actually, it was a talent attraction project. You know, it was this whole digital marketing brand, you know, website, magazine, social media, all tuned to the gear of, we want to get more people to move here. And they, what I really love about that organization, they were very forward thinking in understanding that, you know, this realm of digital marketing isn't something that we know a lot about, but we know it's important, and we know that we need somebody that can do it and can do it well. And so that's why they brought me on, was to help with that. At the beginning. And so that was my internship. That was how it started. And then ultimately that turned into a position. And then I really enjoyed my experience there. But that was really fun because, you know, I was able to take like the video production experience through After Effects, of course. The video production experience, you know, planning, looking at data, understanding what data we needed, and was able to apply it to something else. And then that's what made it really fun. You know, I enjoyed the community aspect of it. I enjoyed the digital marketing. So it was just like this awesome passion project that just kind of became a daily part of what I was doing. And so that went really well. And so that was like one of my first experiences in the real world, was just how much fun this stuff can be. But then also it's not that it's like bad, or not that that position was bad at all, but there's always a little bit of culture shock, like especially after you get out of college and you have like your first real job of like, especially if you watch a lot of TV shows about, you know, like what working in the real world is like, or especially if you watch like Friends, like that is, you know what I mean? Like nobody, they're just going to do that all day. But it was very interesting, and I'm very appreciative of that experience just because, you know, I was a young kid, still am a young kid, I feel like. And I was able to, you know, be trusted with this pretty big project and actually just be able to have a lot of fun with it. And so that was a really good experience, but that's really where I started at, you know, in the real world, and bringing, you know, what I learned from Call of Duty and YouTube and all that good stuff, but actually bringing it, you know, into a picture where I was actually able to make some money off of it.
That's cool. Now, this question I have for you may relate to that project, but I want to know more about your biggest win in marketing so far. And it may be what you found from that project, but if it's not, like, I just want to know more about what it is that a project that you worked on where when you finished it, you're like, that was there. Yes, you can always do things better, but like, that was perfect.
Yeah, good question. You teed this one up well. I'm excited for this, but it actually, if you can believe it, and this isn't even like a pitch, like it actually was a project that we did. So when I worked with that company, that's actually how I met, of course, Zach and in Pixel Labs. And this isn't even a shameless plug. Like this was awesome. So we were partnered with an initiative that. So again, the project that I was working on was talent attraction. We wanted to get people to move to our area. And there's a number of these. A lot of communities have those initiatives now. But another initiative that was out of Iowa served to specifically attract technology individuals back to Iowa. You know, one thing that we found is you have to be pretty specific in who you're looking for. I mean, you can't just use these really broad messages when you're trying to promote a community. I mean, everybody can say it's the greatest place ever. There's a ton of good restaurants. Like, you have to be very specific because you have to paint, you know, their like daily experience of what it's going to look like, or else they're going to tune out, especially when there's a bunch of other communities doing the same thing. But we partnered with this technology project, and they had this whole digital marketing campaign where they identified, you know, all these people all over the country who maybe were interested in moving to Iowa. And then another part of their initiative that they did was they would host meetups across the country in places where they identified there was a large cluster of these folks. And we were invited on behalf of our community to go and represent. And kind of what these meetups looked like is, you know, there would be, you know, 80 to 100 people who would attend, and then they would invite the communities who supported this initiative out to join and then kind of be, you know, just there to engage these folks, these technology professionals, talk to them about Iowa, why they should come back, all that good stuff. And so, you know, we were invited, we were a part of this initiative, and my coworker and I were like, how do we impact every single person in that room, even the communities a little bit, because we're all competitive, right? How can we impact every single person in that room without having to talk to them all? Because there was two of us. And, you know, 100 people, you get 2 hours to talk to these folks. I mean, you're moving pretty quick if you're trying to, and then to have a meaningful, you know, impact on those right. folks, like, that's tough, right? That there's just no way that's going to happen. Yep.
I mean, that's less than 2 minutes a person.
Yeah, it's just, there was no way it was going to happen. And so then we're like, well, because it's expensive. Like, we're not going out here for, you know what I mean? Like, it's expensive to go out there, and we want to make sure it's really worthwhile. And so we're like, okay, like, just ideas. Like, just start throwing out ideas. And we were like, how do we bring our community experience to Denver, Colorado, right? How do you do that? And it's like, well, I mean, you could send them an email afterwards, you know, because we had access to emails. But what we landed on basically was, okay, like, we want people to step into our community, the Cedar Valley, right? Even though they're in Denver. And so where we landed on was virtual reality, right? Which of course we were like, nah, there's no way that's ever going to happen. Like, that's too cool. You know, you can't do that. And, you know, what I talked about earlier, like, I was actually, you know, we were able to do a lot of cool stuff because, you know, our bosses just trusted that we were doing the right things. And so we actually just decided, like, hey, you know, just shot in the dark. Like, they're going to say no, but we know, might as well try it. And so we approached them and asked, and they're like, do you think it's worth it? I'm like, yeah, like, I think this would be awesome. And they're like, all right, like, let us know what it'll take, and we'll let you know if it's possible. And so I think we just reached straight out to you. And I can't remember what the experience was where we knew that you could do that, but
we had put out a video on Facebook that was, we flew a 360 camera from the bottom of our drone downtown. And I think you may have seen that 360 video. You probably saw some posts that we do had 360 capabilities because at the time we were really experimenting with it and we were sharing a lot about what we were learning with it. And I think that just, my guess is you probably searched 360 virtual reality video in the Cedar Valley, and we were probably the only ones that actually came up with anything.
Well, then even still, and that, so that I'm guessing is right, especially the social media, because that kind of rings a bell. And there probably even was an ounce of that, you know, that was inspiration from just, you know, seeing how other people have used it. And so I think I even mentioned, like, oh, like, I think Zach at Pixel Labs, you know, like, I think that they've done that before. We just reached out, you know, yep. like, what would this look like? And it was just, it was awesome because, you know, what I really liked about talking to you was the minute we brought it up, it was just like instant, like, engagement and interest and like passion with it. And I was just like, this is going to happen. Like, now once we started talking about it, like talking about ideas, it's like, okay, so like, what does this even look like? Or, you know, when we get to Denver, what does that even look like? How does somebody actually going to step into this thing? You know, and then we were talking about, okay, so we can have this cool experience for one person, but how do we make it so everybody can see it? You know, so how can we have an impact on everybody there? And so then, you know, it got approved, which that was amazing that we actually got this project approved. And we started working on it. And so what we were able to develop was actually this full set of four videos of, you know, four different places in our community that are kind of hot spots. So we had a couple downtowns. We had, there's a really awesome brewery in town. And then the water park that we have in the
trails.
Oh, we did. That's right. The downtowns were combined into one. I remember that. Yep. Good point. So five experiences total. Four videos. I think we combined the downtown ones.
Yep, the two downtowns were in one video, and that's then right. The trails.
That's right.
Water park and the brewery.
Yep. Well, and so it's kind of some context on the downtowns thing is, so there's two communities here that are right up next to each other, and so we always package that as one rather than two. So yeah, we were able to create these awesome experiences. My coworker was kind of the host, so you know, when you'd watch this video, there was a host there talking about what's going on and kind of like showing you around. And even it was cool in the water park, in the downtowns, in the water park, in the downtowns, you know, you would move through different places and kind of be guided through some different things. And the bike trail, you're actually sitting on the back of the bike, which that was really, really cool. Oh, I do remember the water park one when you go down the slide. Oh man, that was a weird feeling. So we created this experience, and then what we decided was, so we'd bring the headset, right? So folks could step into it and, you know, experience it, of course, this virtual reality experience. And then we were able to project it onto a TV, and there was a TV at this bar that we were at. And so then you had, you know, when we got out to Denver, got it all set up. I should mention too, when we pitched this idea to that initiative, to bring, you know, the initiative that was bringing technology people back, when we pitched it to them, they were like, it's a really good idea, but we don't think that the other communities are going to bring stuff like that. Like, we think that might be a little bit, be a little bit too much. And I remember I told my coworker that, and he's like, oh, what did he say? He's like, we're not asking permission. Like, this isn't us asking for permission. This is just a notification of what we're doing. I think we were signed at that point, like we were doing it, and so he had a phone call with him, and at the end of it he walked out and he just said, like, we're good. I have no idea what he said to him. I mean, I'm sure they just let it happen. So we did it. I loved that part, and especially when we're so competitive, I mean, that was just kind of a nice little deal. So we end up getting out there, we get all the stuff set up, the TV going so everybody can see. And it was awesome. So I really appreciate that, you know, you and Tristan came out with us, because then it was a couple more people to talk about what's going on in our area. But then, you know, there was several people. I think we had somebody on there the majority of the time that was, you know, engaging and experienced, or just experiencing what that was. But the one that really sold it for me, and the one thing that happened that just made it so worthwhile, like all the money and the planning and the time, was there was this, it was a mother and a daughter, right? And they're from here, right? Yep. They're from Cedar Falls. Well, they both spent some time in there, and I just remember it was the daughter, I believe, that was sitting in the seat, you know, just looking at downtown Cedar Falls, right? And she made a comment that, you know, they hadn't been there in like 10 years, you know, they didn't see what was going on or what was, you know, new. And so I was just watching, I was just observing, you know, her in, Zach was talking, or you were talking to her about, you know, the experience, you know, telling her different things. And just the smile that came on her face, like as she was looking around just at the new buildings, you know, what was the same, what was different, because there's been a lot of changes in downtown Cedar Falls in the last few years. That was just an incredible moment just to watch, was just this like just pure, I don't even know what word you can use to describe it, but it had to be, you know, there was joy, you know, nostalgia. You know, I'm sure part of the, like, the coolness and the technology, I'm sure that was a part of it. And that was like the instant moment where I was like, this was like the best thing that we could have done. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Thank you for, pushing us to try to do something different like that. Cause that was, yeah, we had tinkered with it, but we hadn't actually done like a big real project with it. So, short timeline on creating all of it.
It was, yeah.
And, a lot of challenges with it. Just the technology of it, just figuring it all out. It was a fun challenge for me.
Yeah.
To be able to help you figure out how to accomplish it. And then later on, I think it was a little over a year later, I suppose it was, the water park one blew up a little bit, didn't it?
It did. And so part of the reason why we created this content too, because one thing we were very cognizant of, or just we always try to make sure that we do, is anytime we spent money on content, we wanted it to have the shelf life of more than one post, you know, or one video or one newsletter or something. We wanted it to be reused a little bit. And so we set these up in a way that they could be just used organically as tour videos. And yeah, so one fun thing about our community is, so they have this water park, Lost Island Water Park. And a couple years ago, they actually announced that they're going to be building a whole theme park, like this huge, you know, theme park kind of next to the water park. And so a lot of times in the announcements or articles about this theme park, they include that this is... it's not necessarily an extension of the water park, but, you know, they're related, same owners, of course. And so they'd always, you know, they usually link something of the water park, the website generally. But that tour video we just posted on YouTube, I think we just titled it something appropriate, but never, you know, did a bunch of promotion. But outside of that, it just kind of sat there. And at some point, you know, a news outlet picked up this video. And so when they were talking about the incoming theme park, they linked to it. And so we got thousands of views just, you know, out of nowhere one day. And I was kind of like, oh my goodness, like we're getting spam bot traffic or something on our video. But that was awesome. And that, so, you know, even though we had that experience in Denver, you know, that sold it for me. Like I was good. Like that always would go down as a win. Like now this thing is just getting views organically. Yeah. And that was awesome. And so it's just cool that, you know, we live in a world where content can do that. You know, you can build something and do it for this, use it for that. But I just love when things, you know, happen unexpectedly. You know, we never planned, you know, a news article would pick it up. We just always thought that, you know, we can use this in the future in newsletters or on social media. But yeah, that was pretty incredible.
It's awesome. Tell me a little bit about what kind of marketing inspires you most.
No, definitely marketing for the long run. Like understanding that, you know, this to really to do it well, it's not something that you just do overnight. You know, a lot of folks, you know, they have this misconception that, especially with how many influencers there are, you know, today, and, you know, there's all the time, especially on like YouTube and TikTok now, like the only videos that you see are the ones that have, you know, hundreds of thousands of likes, hundreds of thousands of views. And so then they think like, oh my goodness, you know, I do this. And then, or like sometimes they get like this, like, oh, I'm going to do that. Or like, I deserve that. You know, like people are kind of self-centered. I don't know if you know, people know that, but just kind of funny. But what really gets me excited is like when you see somebody that's like, you know, like I just have this interest in something. Like I just think that this could be something cool, and I just want to spend some time making some content about it. And, you know, if nothing happens, great. Like, I just get to work on my hobby, and I get to explore doing this, but also explore this kind of realm of promoting it and, like, sharing it with my friends and seeing if I can help people. That's when that really gets me, is if somebody's like, I kind of want to help people, like, do this a little bit better. So the kind of marketing that gets me really excited is when somebody's doing something they really, really enjoy and then are trying to really dive into it for the point of either, you know, helping others or just pursuing a project, you know, long-term. So it's never like this short-term play, because those always fizzle out, you know. Somebody does it for a month maybe, and it never really goes anywhere. So it's hard for me to get excited when somebody just goes nuts and like, I'm going to be huge. And TikTok though, there's still that organic reach. I mean, you can get pretty big pretty quick if you do the right stuff, but yeah.
That, like, it kind of relates to the idea that social media is this place for relationships. You talked,
and Call of Duty.
In Call of Duty, you talked about how you built these relationships across social media, but that same thing applies to marketing too. When you can as a business, start to develop a relationship with your customers and clients through the way that you market online, that creates, like you said, that marketing for the long haul. Like,
well, yeah, well, and kind of what I mentioned too about it, you know, you start sharing stuff with your friends. I mean, that's what I think these long, like, these channels that do well long term are the ones that create those relationships. You know, you first, of course, you start out with sending it to your family, your friends, like, hey, is this good? You know, what do you think? You know, get their feedback. But then the whole idea is, you know, your friend, you know, who might really like it, you know, sends it to another one, you know, and then that person engages, and say you're doing a live stream and say they join, you know, your one friend that night invites one other friend and they get on there and you just start chatting with them. But yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, these folks, they're not looking for, you know, it's interesting because content is almost like, it's almost like a commodity at this point, right? You can pretty much find about anything. So what makes you different? Right. It's the relationship. It's how do you pass, you know, a feeling of security, a feeling of friendship, you know, of
trust.
Oh, trust. Yeah, absolutely. How do you pass that through a digital medium to somebody sitting on the other side? And that's where the long term gets me really excited, is because, you know, just like those 200 viewers who I was trying to get to know, you know, you couldn't, of course. That's how you do it, is you just, you interact with those same 200 people, you know, over time, and eventually you'll learn a little bit more about one and a little bit more about the other. And you make that person feel good, like you give them a little something, and then that person, you know, maybe some point they'll share it with somebody else. And then it's the same thing. It's investing in those, you know, that one person, even if it's one of one, if it's one of 20, it's investing in that just over time. And that's what, you know, brings a viewer back. So even though I was loving, like, you know, when those 350 came in, I was really excited about it. You know, it's just understanding, you know, why are people there in the first place? And so, yeah, definitely that's very important, especially from the relationship aspect, because then those people will stick around. So,
yeah. Now, I mean, we've been talking for about 40 minutes now. It does go fast. I want to start wrapping it up. But first, I know there was something else that you wanted to talk about. You started your interest in marketing through Call of Duty.
Yep.
You found out marketing was kind of something you wanted to pursue. You went to school.
Yep.
Started your career at a wonderful organization. What are you doing now?
Yeah, great question, Zach. And I don't even know if you know this, but...
I don't know the answer to this.
No, so I am really excited to share that I have accepted the a digital strategist position here at Pixel Labs. You know, and I feel like there has to be like an applause noise or something.
I don't know which button it is, so...
Probably shouldn't start clicking them in case... No, I'm just messing.
I think it's... Nope, not that one. Nope, that's...
Okay, not that one. That's okay. No, that's fine. But no, I'm obviously excited to be part of the Pixel Labs team. You know, and the reason why I joined is especially with, you know, experience that we had in that project. You know, because then I got to learn more about the team, you know, what drives the team, and that passion for creativity, passion for doing a good job, ultimately, passion for exploring new things. That's what really attracted me to Pixel Labs. And so being able to join on, you know, and work at this awesome, talented team that are way smarter than me. And so it's fun to, like, I just love, like, being able to work with them, and you just kind of give them a gist of, like, I think this is what I'm going for. And then to see the stuff that they bring back, and it's just like, that was, like, that's perfect. And it wasn't even what I said at all. Like, you made it way better. I just enjoyed every interaction. And so being part of the team now is truly awesome.
We're definitely excited to have you on the team, because it's one of the reasons why I came to you and asked you about this, is because we as a company had a need for it too. And through those interactions, just like your interest in our company, through those interactions, my perception of you as a marketer showed me how in tune you were with what was going on in the industry. And I still consider you like a baby compared to myself in this too, which is fun, because I see skills and talents that even people that have been in the industry for several years don't quite have, or haven't tapped into. And I really felt like it was because of your eagerness to learn the industry. And I kind of saw that through those little micro interactions that we were having, and just through other conversations that we had. Because even after that first project with VR stuff, is we started having more of a friendship outside of work type of thing too. So we were able to have more conversations about these topics that were more candid and more off the cuff. And I really started to see a lot about what was going on in your head when it came to marketing and your thought process. And I felt like it really aligned with what we were doing at Pixel Labs. And I really felt like it was the right match of matching talent with the company. And I'm really excited to kind of see what we do moving forward.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm so excited. And again, I just thank you for the opportunity and for working on me for a while. I mean, that wasn't like something you'd, like you just asked me about. There was a lot of stuff behind the scenes that I wasn't aware of, but yeah, so I appreciate
it.
It
was a little bit. All right. I want to wrap this up with one last question.
Sure.
And that is, as someone that has found an inspiration in marketing, do you have any last advice or any advice for someone that is an aspiring marketer that is wanting to do things in this industry?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if you're somebody who's never, ever dabbled in marketing before, I would first advise you to consider, you know, what are your hobbies and your passions right now? Like, even if it's something, you know, something that you don't even think is digital or nobody would care about, just say you love like Matchbox cars, or I love Matchbox cars. I'm looking at one, so that's where the inspiration came from.
And it's a Cadillac.
Oh man, I miss my Cadillac. Thing was a beast though. It was not a nice one. People that are like, oh, it was a Cadillac. It was not a nice car. First of all, like, just focus on that first, right? But then think about how you can start tying some of this content creation to that passion. So say it's Matchbox cars. I mean, could you record a minute video talking about even just why you like them and share that? That would be my biggest piece of advice, is attach it to a hobby that you already know you enjoy. Because marketing, and that's why I love marketing, is because, you know, we get to work on something different every day and you get to meet people. And I also, one thing I love about it is if somebody's passionate about something, it's very infectious for me. So even if it's Matchbox cars, like, tell me why you like it. And I'll probably get to that same point as you, just because I enjoy hearing why you like it so much. But start with the passion that you have and see how you can start just sharing little bits of information to others about why you like it, why you think it's cool, and then just take it from there. So
perfect. I don't know. I've talked with you a lot. I've even learned some more in this conversation. So I want to thank you not only for taking the time to tell me a little bit more about your story and everyone else that's listening, but also thank you for joining our team and sharing your expertise and talents. I look forward to everything there is to come. And yeah, that's all I have for you for this podcast.
No, well, again, thank you so much. And thank you to the listeners for sitting through, you know, me talking about that Call of Duty stuff. It's that's like my Matchbox car. You know, that's the thing that I get really excited about and could talk about forever. So I just appreciate the opportunity from you and the audience for listening. So
thank you.
Yeah.